Welcome back. You are listening to the module called Implement and Manage Storage, the Storage Administration and Architecture track for the Azure Administrator Certification, the one people refer to as AZ-104. This is episode 3 of 13, and it is titled Storage Redundancy and Disaster Recovery. In the last episode, we talked about storage account kinds and regions. Today we take that account and ask a more dramatic question. What happens when something breaks? A drive dies, a whole data center goes dark, or an entire region drops off the map? Azure has a layered answer to all of that, and by the end of this walk, you will be able to pick the right protection for the right situation. And to understand exactly what happens when you press the failover button. Here is the first thing to lock in, and it surprises a lot of people. Azure Storage always keeps multiple copies of your data. Redundancy is not something you switch on. It is always on. The only thing you configure is the scope, in other words, how far apart those copies live. And this setting is per storage account. It applies to every service inside that account, your blobs, your files, your queues, and your tables, all together. So if two workloads need different durability levels, the answer is simple. Put them in separate storage accounts. Now, here is the mental model that makes all of this easy. There are just two axes, two independent decisions, and every redundancy option is simply a combination of those two. Memorize the two axes, and the six option names basically fall out on their own. The first axis is the layout inside your primary region. You have two choices. Local, which we call LRS, locally redundant storage, keeps three copies inside a single physical data center. Or zonal, which we call ZRS, zone redundant storage, spreads those copies across three or more availability zones. And an availability zone is a separate building, with its own power, its own cooling, and its own networking. So zonal means that if one whole building burns down, you are still fine. The second axis is geo-replication. Either you keep everything in that one region, or you also copy the data asynchronously to a paired secondary region hundreds of miles away. And on top of that, you can choose to make that faraway copy readable, which adds the RA prefix, read access. So the prefixes decode cleanly. The letter G means geo, a second region. The letter Z means zone, spreading across zones in the primary. And RA means read access to the secondary. Once that clicks, the six names read like a sentence. LRS, ZRS, GRS, RAGRS, GZRS, and RAGZRS. Let us make that concrete with the six options. LRS, three copies in one data center, protects you against a drive failing, a server failing, or a rack failing. Its durability is 11 nines per year. ZRS, three copies across three zones, adds protection against losing a whole data center or zone, and it bumps you up to 12 nines. Then we add geo. GRS is LRS in your primary, plus another LRS copy in the secondary region, that protects you against a full region-wide disaster, and gives you 16 nines of durability. RAGRS is the same thing, but now you can read that secondary copy. GZRS is the strong one. It is ZRS in the primary, so zone resilient, plus an LRS copy in the secondary, that protects you against a zone loss and a region disaster at the same time, and RAGZRS is the maximum, all of that, plus a readable secondary.
There are a few facts here worth
carving into stone. Inside the primary region, writes are synchronous. The call does not return success, until all the local replicas have acknowledged it. But to the secondary region, replication is asynchronous. And that asynchronous gap is the entire source of potential data loss. Another key fact, in the secondary region, the data is always stored as LRS, no matter what. So the only real difference between GRS and GZRS is the layout in the primary, local versus zonal. The secondary is LRS, either way. And Microsoft's recommendation for high availability is to use ZRS in the primary, and for the strongest posture, choose RAGZRS. Now an important warning. Redundancy protects you against hardware and infrastructure failure only. Every replica reflects the exact same state. So if you delete a file or overwrite it, that delete or overwrite hits every single copy at the same instant. Redundancy is not a backup. Backup-style protection, things like soft delete, versioning and snapshots, comes later in episode 11. So let us talk about the primary, the secondary, and that paired region. When you create the account, you choose the primary region. But the secondary is the fixed, Azure-assigned paired region. You cannot pick it and you cannot change it. Azure decides, and it always sits hundreds of miles away, so it can survive a regional disaster. Now with plain GRS or GZRS, no read access, that secondary copy is completely inaccessible. You cannot read it, you cannot write to it, not until a failover promotes it. But with RAGRS or RAGZRS, the secondary is always readable, at a separate address. You just append the word secondary to the account name. So if your normal endpoint is your account name, then .blob.core.windows.net, the readable secondary is your account name, then a hyphen and the word secondary, then .blob.core.windows.net. And here is a nice detail, the access keys are identical on both endpoints. Now here comes a classic exam trap, so listen closely. Azure Files does not support read access to the secondary at all. Files can use geo-redundancy, so GRS or GZRS, but there is never a readable secondary for file shares. No RA for files. If a question pairs Azure Files with RAGRS or RAGZRS, that is the trap. Let us walk through what survives what, because this is really the heart of the exam logic, a single node failing inside a data center. Every option survives that, even LRS. Losing an entire data center or zone. LRS fails here, but ZRS, GRS, and GZRS all survive. A region-wide outage in the primary. Now both LRS and ZRS fail, because they are single region. Only the geo options survive, and they require a failover to restore write availability. And read access to the secondary during a primary outage. Only the RA options give you that. A few support constraints are worth memorizing. All six options are recommended on the standard general purpose V2 account, the one called Storage V2. Premium block blobs and premium SSD file shares support only LRS and ZRS, no geo at all. The legacy account types do not support ZRS. The archive tier is supported for LRS, GRS, and RAGRS, but not for any of the zonal geo options. Now, can you change redundancy after the account is created? Yes, but with limits, and the limits map perfectly onto our two axes. Here is the mnemonic to carry. Toggling geo is easy. Changing the zone layout is a conversion. Let me unpack that. Adding or removing the geo part, so going between LRS and GRS, or between ZRS and GZRS, that is a live update with no downtime. Turning read access on or off is just a simple toggle too. But changing the primary layout, the Z-axis, so going from LRS to ZRS, that is a conversion. A conversion can be customer-initiated, where you request it, or it can be a manual migration, where you create a fresh account and copy the data over with the AsCopy tool. Conversions take time, and some paths are effectively one-directional, so plan ahead. To check your current setting, you would run the storage account show command and query the SKU name, which comes back as something like standard_LRS or standard_GZRS. To change it, you would run the storage account update command and set a new SKU. Now we arrive at disaster recovery and the three types of failover. Geo-redundancy by itself just keeps a copy sitting in the secondary. To actually use that copy for writes, you failover. And a failover repoints the Azure DNS endpoints so that the secondary becomes the new primary. There are three flavors. First, customer-managed planned failover. You trigger it, it is scoped to one storage account, and you use it for disaster recovery testing, or to move proactively ahead of a forecast disaster. Crucially, it has no data loss, as long as both regions stay available throughout the failover and the failback. Second, customer-managed unplanned failover. You also trigger this one, scoped to one account, and you use it when the primary endpoints are actually down and Azure has issued an advisory. This one can lose data. Third, Microsoft managed failover. Microsoft triggers this, and only for an entire region or data center, as a last resort in a catastrophic disaster. And here is the big warning, do not design your architecture around Microsoft managed failover. Microsoft only initiates it in extreme circumstances. and only for a whole physical unit. It cannot be triggered for your individual account, your subscription, or your tenant. For selective control disaster recovery, you use customer-managed failover. And note, customer-managed failover requires the modern ARM deployment model. Old classic accounts must be migrated first. So why does failover matter so much in the details? Because the planned and unplanned outcomes differ sharply, and this is the highest value thing in the whole episode. Picture a GZRS account. With a planned failover, it is a clean swap. The secondary becomes the new primary, the old primary becomes the new secondary, and the account temporarily becomes GRS. Geo-redundancy is retained. When you fail back, you return to GZRS with no data loss. But with an unplanned failover, it is lossy. The secondary becomes the new primary, but the copy in the old primary is deleted, and the account is converted to plain LRS. Read that again in your head. After an unplanned failover, you are sitting on a single, local-only copy in the new primary, with nothing anywhere else. Geo-redundancy is gone. You must re-enable it, which triggers re-replication. And that re-replication is billed for bandwidth and egress. And if you had archived blobs, they must be rehydrated to an online tier first, which is also billed. The good news is, a failover typically completes in under 1 hour. Let us talk about the two terms that quantify all of this, RPO and RTO. RPO, the recovery point objective, is how much data you can lose. Because replication to the secondary is asynchronous, the secondary always lags a little behind, and that lag is your RPO. Azure's geo-priority replication targets a recovery point objective of 15 minutes or less for block blobs. RTO, the recovery time objective, is how long it takes to restore service, which is roughly the failover time, typically under 1 hour for customer-managed failover. And there is one beautiful property that makes RPO concrete, called last sync time. It is the most recent moment at which your primary data was confirmed written to the secondary. Everything written before last sync time is safe on the secondary. Anything written after it may be lost in an unplanned failover. So the design tip is to log your application's write times. If disaster strikes, you compare your write times against last sync time and you know exactly what you lost. One more distinction before we recap because it sets up our next episode. Object replication is not the same as geo-redundancy. Geo-redundancy copies your whole account to its fixed paired region for disaster recovery. Object replication, the subject of episode 4, asynchronously copies selected block blobs between accounts that you choose, even across regions or subscriptions, following a policy you define. Different feature, different purpose. And note, an account in an object replication policy cannot be failed over. For designing high availability, the default for a business critical app is RAGZRS. You get zone resilience, geo protection, and a readable secondary you can test against in advance. Build retry with exponential backoff into your apps to handle transient faults during zone events, and build read failover into the app so that on a primary read failure, it retries against the secondary endpoint for RA accounts. And remember the three knots: redundancy is not backup, failover is not migration, and geo-redundancy is not object replication. So, the things to carry with you on your walk are these. Two axes give you six names. Axis 1 is local versus zone in the primary. Axis 2 is geo, plus an optional read access. The durability ladder climbs from 11 nines for LRS, to 12 nines for ZRS, to 16 nines for the geo options. Writes are synchronous inside the primary, and asynchronous to the secondary, and that async lag is your RPO. The secondary is always LRS. GRS and GZRS differ only in the primary layout. Azure Files has no read access secondary. A planned failover is a clean swap that keeps geo and loses no data. An unplanned failover deletes the old primary, drops you to LRS, and can cost you data. Never rely on Microsoft managed failover. And last sync time is your yardstick for how much data is at risk. Next time, in episode 4, Encryption at Rest and Object Replication, we will look at how Azure protects your data at rest with Microsoft managed and customer managed keys, and we will dig into that object replication feature I just teased. I will see you on your next walk.